Hello and welcome to this episode of the AF Mentors podcast. Jules, how are you?
I'm smashing. How are you?
I'm great, actually. Maureen, how are you?
I'm very well, also. Yeah.
Oh, good. It's Friday.
Got our Friday feelings on.
God, I was almost going to say Friday, and then I was a bit sick in my mouth.
Oh, God.
Oh.
It's the same the other day when you said something about hun. I was like, if she ever huns me, she
Oh yeah, whenever I say hun, it's like
Yeah.
so I've had a great morning, had two incredible sales calls. Both of them are gonna sign up. And do you know what was just so nice? I was just like, I so wanna see you win. Like, I just wanna see you win so much. And interestingly, so one of them was like, like it is a big investment. I need to like I definitely want to do it, but I need to like think about stuff. And I was like, look. This is so, and then I was thinking about it afterwards. I was like, this is literally the opposite of what most mentors would say. I was like, go away, have a think about it, ask me any questions. But if it's going to put you in like financial hardship, don't sign up now. Whereas most people are like, put it on a credit card, get your credit card out, borrow it from your dying grandma, like do whatever you need to do to make this. I'm like, no, do you know what? Like, think about it. Like, I fully. The reason we get people on calls before they sign up is because we want to make sure that we can help you. I don't take on people that I don't think I can help. My reputation means way too much to me for like whatever it is. I'm like, you couldn't pay me enough to take on someone that I know I can't help. That's why I want to get on a call with people first. So yeah, like it is an investment in your business, but I wouldn't let you sign up if I didn't think it was going to pay off for you. And then secondly, if someone literally is, like if you're like, I don't know if I'll be able to pay my bills if I sign up, I don't want you to sign up,
I always think people are surprised at that on sales calls, and you can tell by like the inflection of their voice because people say, it's a lot of money, I'm going to need to have a think about it. And you can tell they're sometimes a wee bit apprehensive of saying that to you. And my response is always, yeah, no bother. You've got my WhatsApp. Have a wee think about it. I'll send you all the information. Any questions you've got when you come off this call, because you will have things that you think of later, just send me them over and we can chat back and forward. And people are always like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. She was like, oh, do you mind if I like, would it be okay if I just took to the end of the day? I was like, yes, that's
Better.
absolutely fine. Like, we're not scarcity here, like the sooner you sign up, the sooner you get results. But that like that should be on you. And then I always come back to how do I like to be sold to? If someone tries to close me on the phone, there's not a fucking chance. I'm not buying anything on the phone. Right? Like, at least like give me 5 minutes to have a little think about it. And then I'll come to you. And I've noticed that so much this is what's happening with all the businesses at the moment is like we get people to come to us, right? And I've got really good at doing this with coaches as well. But even like today, I've had someone being like, I really need to sign up with Maureen. Like, how do I get in contact with her? Like, like they're finding, like they're coming to us to sign up, or when's the next intake opening, or have you already sent that email? Because I've been looking and I haven't found it. And it's like, whoa, give me a break. I haven't yet. Like, but that's what you want, right? It's the whole like Dan Priestley oversubscribe. You want to have a product so good that people are like, when can I sign up for this? I went into the EIQ inbox yesterday because I'd forgotten to be checking it. And there was like two people like, can I still sign up? Like, when's the next one? If I've missed this one, or does it matter if I've missed a week? Can I join? Like, like you want people that are eager to get into your business. That's the aim of it. So you're not fucking doing cold DMs to everyone, 99% of them don't want to hear from you. That's completely different. Anyway, that's the AFM vibes. That's the goal, is getting people to come to you because you're so good at what you do that they want to work with you.
Agreed.
Agreed.
All right, great. I actually have a question here before we get on to what we were going to talk about, which was the social media reviews, wasn't it? But I had a question that we missed in Mastermind. So, if you are testing out different free resources or problems that you solve because you currently aren't getting any leads at the moment, how do you make sure that you're not talking about too many different problems too broadly? I want to make sure that I still have a niche and I talk to individuals, but at the same time, I don't want to keep talking about certain topics if people aren't interested. it's hard to know the difference if the engagement is low. Do you get that?
Kind of
like, how do you test your niche, really?
How to test your niche, or how to test like what people are resonating with, what problems specifically they have, right? So as an example of this, it might be something like, oh, who else hates tracking? And it's like, most people are like, no, I actually quite like it. Then you're not going to make a track-free guide, because most of your following are like, no, I actually quite like tracking.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, you can ask your audience, like, you can kind of list out, you can do this like as on your stories as kind of like research or a survey. Pick a few different types of problems and like do polls on them. And you can ask them, say, I'm just doing a bit of research. Which of these do you struggle with the most? Have like a poll sticker which they can vote, and you can get a good idea of what your audience are actually struggling with.
Yeah.
I think as well, like,
like what we did the other day with ADHD, you know, it took 10 minutes to make that questionnaire. We didn't just, you did to start with, but we didn't just ask like, what are you struggling with? You know, like, we listed out, these are the key things that people with ADHD struggle with when it comes to a relationship with food or dieting or exercise or like general life. Which ones do you struggle with most? And then we ask, okay, well, which one in particular do you struggle with most? And then, is there any that we've missed, right? Because if you just ask someone, what is it that you struggle with? You're never going to get a good response, right? It's too broad. Some people will have, like, you know, done a load of journaling and probably don't need coaching and are very, very self-aware and know exactly what it is that they're struggling with. But most people don't really know until you put some options in front of them. Oh, actually, I do struggle with that. Or, oh, yeah, I'd never really thought about how that would relate to my relationship with food. But yeah, no, that is like, impulse control is something that I struggle with, blah, 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 whatever it is. But I would give a little bit more first rather than just like the broadness of like, what do you find hard? This too big a question.
That's like when you see people on social media all the time saying to their audience, what do you want to see from me? They don't know. You're the one with all the information. Give them some options. And then people go, oh yeah, actually that appeals to me. But if you're just really broad with it and you're like, what do you want to see from me? No, you come up with some ideas and ask them if they would like them. I think, yeah, you've got to narrow it down. And if you're testing things, don't test hundreds of different things at one time, like different topics, different questions, different formats, different times, all that. Keep as many factors the same and change one so that you can see, what is it that's actually making the difference? Is it actually the difference between carousels and reels? Is it the difference between posting at 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night? Is it the questions you're asking? Is it the way you're asking them? I think narrow down how you're changing it so that you've got a better idea of what's making the difference.
I could not agree more. Even the same question asked in a slightly different way makes such a difference. Like, I remember doing this with Hayley when she was like, oh, no one's asking questions in my question box. And I was like, that's because you're just putting up a question box and hoping that people are just going to ask you questions. Then we started framing it to like, oh, it's Hayley Helps. I'm giving out 1 hour of my free time to help as many people as possible with anything that they're struggling with when it comes to fat loss, right? You've made it specific. You've also shown it as an offering. That's exactly the same, right? But you've kind of changed it from, I'm asking you to ask me a question, to, I'm giving you my time, my expertise for free. What one is someone more likely to put their hand up for? 100% the latter, right? And it went from like, oh, now and again, I'll get two or three questions to like consistently getting 10 to 20 questions. Such a big difference. Exactly the same thing technically, but how you ask it is different, right? So I'd be thinking about that. And even when you were talking there, it's like, ask people, do you want this or this? Or this or this or this, right? Not just like, what do you want? Okay, do you want more workouts? Or do you want more tips on how to lose fat? Do you want me to do lives every week? Or do you want me to? And don't ask them, well, actually, this is a good question. Like, how do you get around this? Because I think, especially when you're talking to your clients as well, if you're like, oh, hey, do you want us to do more Q&As? Everyone's going to be like, yeah. And then they'll never come to, you know, like, you'd be like, oh, should we do a mastermind 3 times a week? AFM people would be like, yeah. But they wouldn't come to it because it dilutes it. It actually becomes kind of like less useful and less like scarce, but you know, people wouldn't be like, we get such good turnout for those masterminds. Everybody wants to be on them, even though everyone's busy PTs, right? You know, and it's 10 a.m. on a Thursday and like not everyone can make it, but everyone tries to make it as often as possible. If we had those three times a week, it wouldn't work. And less people would come, there'd be too much to catch up on, it would lose its value, you know. But I'm willing to bet if I just put in the group, hey, do you want two more? They'd be like, yeah. People are always going to say yes if you offer them more, but you've got to kind of figure out, well, actually, is like, you know, is that going to be valuable? Yeah. Anything else to add on kind of like figuring out your niche? And I mean, with this person, what I would say is that I think you kind of know your niche. It's more about like picking specific problems that people have, right? Like, so if I look at my own business for this, I'll test stuff out all the time, right? Like if I spoke about 30HD and it nobody really resonated with it, you would have never heard me speak about it again, right? If I spoke about range targets and it didn't really work, or no one, I would never spoken about it again. Why do you think I didn't talk about Commit 42? It didn't work, right? Or it didn't work the way that I wanted it to work. So like, you know, you try stuff and you change it. You need to give it long enough as well. I didn't just mention it once and then stop talking about it. But when you're testing stuff on social media, like I might talk about small women. Oh, no one really resonates with that. Cool, I'll move on. But actually, fucking hell, I didn't expect this, but loads of people resonate with that. So I'm like, oh, better do a bit more on that. Oh, better create something actually for that. Oh, better record a podcast specifically on that topic so I can give it out to people. You know, it's that kind of stuff that you need to be testing out. And some of it will bomb and some of it will get like no traction. And then often it's not stuff that you would have initially thought about. You know, I never thought that loads of people would be like obsessed with, well, not obsessed, but like resonate so strongly with being a small woman and finding it harder to lose fat. I didn't think that would be like a key topic, but it really is, right? For me and for my audience.
What I think you've also got to be careful of is, and this happens a lot with social media, don't send yourself down a path just because you're getting engagement on it. Because I know engagement, people are like, oh, we hit a dopamine, this is great. But I had a chat with a coach during the week and she said her audience resonates a lot when she talks about fat loss. She doesn't want to coach fat loss. It's like, don't go down the path then of just because you're getting engagement on it and people are buying into it, talking about fat loss, because what are you going to do? Are you going to build this huge business based on you being the fat loss expert, and then you're going to have this big business and be like, I don't even like this? So just because you get engagement on it doesn't mean that's the direction your business should go in. So it's about thinking about, how do you want your business to be? What do you want to grow into? And then how do you get engagement based off that direction you're going in?
That's a big problem for people trying to grow on social media as well. It's like they do the thing that they see is getting a lot of engagement, a lot of interaction. People are maybe following, such as putting out workouts or recipes and stuff like that, which for some reason they do seem to do well in terms of engagement on social media, and people will follow you for things like that. But if that's not relevant to the type of business that you're going to be running, then it's useless. Having that big following is a waste of time. And you have to ask, okay, well, why are these people following me? Because if you have a massive amount of followers who are following you for the wrong thing and you're not actually doing that thing anymore, then they're absolutely, like, it's useless having a big, massive following of that. Yeah. So that is something to also to be conscious of.
I mean, prime examples of this. Becky had a big following from house interior design. Wasn't useful to build a coaching business, shockingly. And then sometimes it's a bit like chicken and egg. Like, I always use this example, but Dr. Mike used to get really pissed off that people would ask him, like, he was like, whenever I put a question post up, all people ask me is like, to what do I think of Grenade's new flavor out of 7? And it's like, yeah, because that's what you're sharing, right? Like, people ask what you're sharing. People will stop asking you that if you stop rating protein bars. You know, like it's kind of like the obvious stuff as well. And then the other thing that people get really caught up on, more in regards to what Maureen was saying, is like ego, massively. Oh, well, that post bombed. But it's like, sometimes you don't know that it it bombed, right? It might have actually done really well in terms of building your business, but it didn't get a lot of likes or didn't get a lot of views or didn't go viral or whatever. It's harder to tell that, especially when you have a smaller and less engaged following, because if you do call to actions on it, you might not see anything from it. Right. So I can't remember what I posted about recently, but probably got like, I think it got about like 40 likes, 50 likes or something, but it got me like 8 to 10 direct messages from it. So it did well, right? But I posted something the other day, it's on like 1,500 likes, got me no business. You know, like you can't just look at that stuff. And I remember working with someone ages ago. This was before I did AFM. And I actually ran a program with him. Glasgow PT, huge following. Like this was before like a lot of people had kind of blown up. I think he had like 250,000, 250,000 followers. Only, you know, bodybuilder type guy, only post pictures of him in his pants. I would imagine that like 90% of his following were just gay men who fancied him, right? And I tried to get him to show, like, he's also a really fucking good coach, like a really good coach. And I tried to get him to, like, you know, post some workouts or show some kind of value or whatever. And he did it for a week, and then he went back and he deleted all of it because it didn't have the same, you know, like normally he'd get like 20,000 likes on a picture of him, you know, topless or something. But these were getting like 50 likes. So, and it was before you could hide likes, I guess. But it was like an ego thing. He just deleted them all. And I was like, we're never going to, and we ran a program. We got about 30 signups. That is from 250,000 followers, 30 signups. And guess what? They were all ex-in-person clients that he'd had, right? So like literally nothing from social media. It's mad, right? But people get so caught up in like the numbers and how big someone's following is and stuff. And like, I'm not saying I'm immune to that, because as much as I know that, I do look at some people and I'm like, oh, like, oh, they've got way more followers than I do. And like, I know why they do. They've played the game in a way that I haven't. I know that I've got a bigger business than them, but sometimes it's like and this is like my own ego, from an ego perspective, someone will look at them and be like, oh, look how successful they are, 500,000 followers. I'm like, I know I make considerably more money than they do. I have considerably bigger business and I help considerably more people, but I'm still a little bit like, oh, they've got way, you know, like they're way more popular than I am. You know, they've got way more following than I do. So I'm not like everyone's immune, like no one's immune to it is my point, but it's catching yourself out on it and being like, right, but what's important to me? I actually don't particularly want or need a big following that aren't engaged. I've got a very engaged following and I'd much prefer that. But yeah, you can still, it's just useful to kind of catch yourself out on those thoughts.
It's human nature though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it's, what do you want to be? Do you want to be an influencer with a big following and get brand deals and all this? Or do you want to run a business? Because they're different things. So it's kind of like when clients come on board and they're like, right, I want to lose 15 pounds. Right, okay. What's in it for you? What's the goal? And actually, it might be something different. So think about, what's the goal of Instagram? If it's to get people into your business, it's not always likes and shares that do it.
Oh, yeah.
Reminding yourself of that, because we all do it. Everybody wants their reels and posts and all that to get loads of likes and loads of interaction. We all do.
Mm. But, and then when you point it out, it's so obvious. It's like, what would I rather, you know, loads of people saw? Oh, like, would I just post a video of me doing a pull-up again? I know that that will get, you know, loads and loads of views and no business. Or will I post a post that is probably going to get, like, you know, hardly any likes or interaction, but I know I'll probably pick up clients from? And it's not to say you can't do a little bit of both, like play the game a little bit, but one's much more important than the other if you want to build a business.
If you want that dopamine hit, just post videos of pull-ups and pictures of dogs and jobs are getting.
Exactly. Okay, social media reviews. We've done many of these in the last couple of weeks. What have been the most common things? I wonder if I wrote a list of mine as well. I wonder if they're all the same. Maureen, you start.
Mine has been like for every single call, it's the people not really knowing who they're speaking to and struggling then, because they're not clear on that, struggling to think of content and getting very overwhelmed. Like that has been nearly on every single call.
Do you also find a lot of mine, I was like, I don't even know how to sign up with you.
Yeah.
That's really common. Like a lot of people's page I went on to look through like everything. And I'm like, I don't actually know what it is you do.
Yeah. Or it's like, yeah, I'm just not getting any signups. I'm like, how do I sign up with you? But oh, well, there's like a thing in my bio saying DM me for coaching information. There wasn't even a link. There was nothing. It's just like some people, and this is why I wanted to get to this, like some people, I would say the majority aren't doing the basics right.
Mm-hmm.
Like no strong call to actions. And there aren't just DM me coaching, you know, like relevant actions to give something that's specific to a problem that you're going to help them solve without a sell, right? That's how you get into genuine conversations. And that's how you then sell. Having an actual way of signing up with you and also not pushing people straight to sales calls. They don't want to book a discovery call. Literally fucking nobody wants to book a discovery call ever. So have a conversation with people first. What people will be way more likely to do is chat to you, get a bit of value, figure out a little bit about what it is. And then, hey, I do think I can help you. Do you want to jump on a call to talk about it? That's how you get people on calls. Not there's a link in my bio to book a discovery call. What the fuck's a discovery call anyway? No. Stop. And also, too long. Like, who's got... This is actually... So we were looking for a VA this week. Whole other story. Very great experience for us. But anyway, I was looking at a few like agencies as well. And a lot of them had hour-long discovery calls. And that's why I didn't book in with them. Yeah, because I was like, an hour to what? Like, what? Like, I don't want to talk to you for an hour. Like, I ain't got time for that. And then when you think, right, who's their niche? Busy business owners that need to outsource something. That's why they're looking for a VA. Literally none of them have an hour to give you. No, it's very silly.
And that's, they're asking you to do something for them before they help you. This is one of the things I said to a couple of people on social media. You're asking a lot of people before they even get to find out what you do or get any help from you or get any value from you. Like posts that are pages and pages long. You're asking for a lot of people's time. Be short to the point. Don't ask people to give you something in order for you to coach them.
I think that's because people think that they're giving, right? Uh-huh. By doing that. Oh, but I gave all this great content. And it's like, no, really, like, in, you know, people's attention is the value, right? You're asking for their attention. Why should they give it to you? That's what you should be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I noticed was there was some people that you couldn't tell that they were actually a coach or provided a coaching service. It was like, is this a personal page? Like what's going on here? You know, and not even knowing. I know you did a post about it, Jules, like not knowing like what the person was going to be like on the call. Are they going to be chatty? Are they going to be shy? Where are they actually from? What's their, like, couldn't tell their accent because they don't have any videos of them speaking on their page. It was totally like you had, didn't know a single thing about what you were meeting on the phone.
That was really common. And a lot of people, because I looked through a lot of posts, I thought there'll be a video here somewhere, and there was a lot of people that came across like university lecturer series on their Instagram, got on the call and they were all smiling and happy, and I'm like, this is two totally different people. You need to show people who you are and what you're like.
Or university lecture series, or what I found was like quite intimidating, unlikable influencer. And then I'd get on the call and they were the nicest people ever. And I was like, that is not coming across on your social media. And I would not sign up with you based on your social media, but based on how you just come across on the phone, 100%. You're likable, you're funny, you're engaging, you care. That, I think that was the main thing. I'm like, it doesn't look like you care about your clients because all your social media content is about you looking perfect in a big, scary gym, being in incredible shape. Like, that's really hard to relate to for people. And again, not saying don't do any of it. That has to be mixed in with, and this is the value that I give to my clients that I really care about. That has to come across as well.
I think people spend too much time trying to show how much they know and how many qualifications they've got and all of this, and they don't show enough time with, I get it. I understand how you feel.
I had that as well, where, and this is where I think a lot of people were saying, you know, I'm doing everything, I'm posting on social media, I'm being consistent, but I'm not getting any leads. But then when we kind of unpicked and asked them, okay, what are you talking about? They were talking about all the information that they knew. But when you ask them, okay, what are your clients struggling with? They want to lose weight. It's like, okay, that's over here. But like, where are they over here? This is where you need to, this is what you need to talk about. The day-to-day relatable stuff that people can be like, oh my God, like they're in my head. How does she know what I'm talking about? Is she, can she fucking see me? It's like, you want people to be thinking like what you're saying is a personal attack. If you're just saying, I want to lose weight, you're sure you're speaking to an awful lot of people, but you're not being specific about it.
Yeah, and also just like, if you do want to talk about the kind of deeper stuff, like, or not even that deep, but like journaling, but you know that every, you know, like your business is about helping people lose fat and your clients want to lose fat or your potential clients want to lose fat, how does journaling help with fat loss? Because a lot of people are just like, we should all journal because this is, and it's like, but you've not linked it back to their problem. You know, why is that going to help me? Why should I lift weights if my goal is fat loss? Right, how's that going to help you? You know, like, why should I eat more protein? Well, you know, like, this one thing that you can add to your diet is going to help you lose fat. What's their problem? They want to lose fat. You know, like, bring it back to what they want, not what you want to tell them. So it's not to say, like, don't share all that incredible knowledge that you have, but share it in the context of how it's going to help them achieve their goals, not just protein's really useful and you should have this much a day. But like, well, why does that help me based on what I'm struggling with?
Yeah, like an example I had with a lot of people was, you know, a lot of people said, oh, I help people who are really busy, or they can't get to the gym because they're really busy, or they can't meal prep because they're really busy. And I'm like, okay, well, why do they feel they're really busy? Because they work. Okay, everyone works. What else? Oh, maybe they have kids. Okay, well, what does a morning look like in a house for somebody who's got kids? They wake up in the morning, the kids are hanging out with them, they can hardly get time to prep the kids, have a coffee, they get back to their coffee's cold, they're frustrated, they don't have time to get to the gym, they're starving, and then they think, oh my God, I can't do anything for myself, I'm chasing after the kids all the time, this is so unfair. It's like, that's what you need to talk about, because you will be able to relate to somebody who wakes up in the morning and that's what it looks like in their house. But saying, are you a busy mum who just, or are you too busy to go to the gym? It's like, of course we're all too busy, but we have to just make it fucking work.
Yeah, yeah. And that is the difference between, oh my God, it's like you're in my head and you totally get it. And what a lot of other mentorships do, which is like, pick a specific niche, put it in your bio, and like, people will just come to you. Like, oh, are you a busy mum? Oh yeah, that's who I should go to. They're going to way more likely go to someone like, who literally says exactly what Maurice just said. Do you wake up and just feel like, I'm chasing my tail for the whole day because X, Y, Z, right? And be mega specific, because this is like an interesting kind of like human behavior trait. But like, even if you spoke all about that, but someone didn't have kids, but instead they had a dog that woke them up or something, they don't completely ignore it because they're like, well, I don't have kids, I've got a dog. They're like, oh my God, yeah, that's how I feel with my dog. Or like, that's how I feel when I wake up and I've got 5 messages from different coaches and different clients, and you know, like, something's gone wrong with the business or blah blah blah. Like, you can still resonate with something even if it's not exact, but if you don't give like context to the story, people just get bored of it, or they don't, you know, resonate at all. If it's just like, if you wake up feeling overwhelmed, why are they overwhelmed, what's going on? Like, be specific with it. Anything else that kind of came up on social media reviews?
Another thing was, you know, the sitting back. I know we mentioned it at the beginning, like, that you have to get to a place where you have people coming to you, but at the start that might not be the case. Like, you will have to go and talk to people. So I think a lot of people are kind of just sitting back hoping that, okay, I just post this thing once and then you're just going to get floods of people into your DMs. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Like, you have to go out and engage with people and be social, get into normal conversations. And the first conversations will likely be nothing to do with fitness, because although we're all into fitness, our clients are not into it as much as us. So you can get into a conversation with somebody just on something normal, non-fitness related, create a relationship, some sort of connection with them where they can see, oh, this person's actually nice, can have a genuine conversation with them. And then when they do decide that, oh, I'm ready to look after my fitness, you're going to be the one they're going to go to because you've created some sort of a bond with them already.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say on that front, I got new apples, Envy apples. Well, nice.
Oh, interesting.
Mm.
I don't know now if I'd try them. Like, the Pink Lady is just top tier.
I don't know. It depends on my mood.
Red apples are a hard no.
Oh, what, you're a Granny Smith?
Golden Delicious, actually.
They're just water. They do not taste of anything.
Crunchy. No.
Do you know what? Sometimes you're right, Maureen, but sometimes you're wrong in this specific situation. So, like, as an example, some gala apples taste like nothing. Other ones, really good. And I think it's due to when they're in season. And the same can be said for Golden Delicious, because I have had many a delicious Golden Delicious, but I've also had many that have just tasted like nothing.
It's a spin of a roulette wheel, isn't it?
It's part of the fun, really, isn't it? Now, you do always get what you think you're going to get with a Pink Lady, but it's never better and it's never worse. It's just standard.
Well, it's consistent. I like consistency.
But actually, that's a good point to make about business, because that's what people want. I was actually talking to my mate who's got a coffee shop at the moment. We were both kind of like, the coffee here is so much better. Why do people go to Starbucks? And I was like, I'm going to be completely honest. It's normally better here, but it's not consistent. Like, they've got different baristas, and like, normally it's not just better, but it's like 50 times better, you know, like it's like way better, but now and again it's not. And it's the consistency that people want. That's why people go to Starbucks all over the world. And same, it's like, you know, if I was in a different city, I mean, this is a bad example because I didn't really eat Greggs, but like, there was a Greggs next door to like a locally run sandwich shop. Like, you know, people go to the Greggs because they know what they're going to get, whereas they don't know that the sandwich shop is going to be better. It could, you know, it could be horrendous. It's most likely to be way better, right? But you don't know because there's no reputation behind it. Whereas when you've got a brand and you've got a reputation, it's like rinse and repeat. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to get the same McDonald's chips.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah.
All right then, any passing comments that you would like to make before I wrap this up? Oh, guess what, we're doing a meetup, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
That
one was amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So it's 20th of April. You've got ages to put that in your diary. So get it in your diary. Cancel anything else that might be in there. It's going to be in Manchester. It's going to be very good. And there'll be more information on that very shortly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears open.
Yes. And if you do want to sign up to undoubtedly the best and most supportive mentorship in the fitness industry, head over to afmentors.com, fill in the application form if you don't want to book a call, or book a call. These aren't discovery calls. These are 15-minute calls to get to know you, get to know your business, and to see if we can help you. If we can't, we'll refer you somewhere else, or we just won't let you sign up if you're not AFM vibes. And yeah, that's all.
Okay, bye.